Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Dre.
Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
We are starting the show. Are you ready, fellas?
Talking sports with the 12 man. We here to stay, people.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Y'all don't know, you better ask somebody.
Never get sick of the intro.
I got some of something.
I don't think I would say it's just going to do a little more volume at the end, but other than that, man, it's fantastic. I like it, man. We are officially talking sports with 12th man on this amazing April the 12th day, Wednesday. Fellas, we are just moving right along, and let's kind of get the show started like we always do. I'm your host, Andre, joined by my fellow co-hosts. Let me introduce the fellas to you first and foremost. They're thinking they're sneaking in the playoffs. They got it. They're in the playoffs. It's all good. So let's kick it off with my man, JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain, bro. I got one with my man, Bazoo, the other day, and hanging out with my homeboy, Mike. He's walking around here somewhere. I'm chilling out, man. How you doing?
I'm good, man. You got to tell Zoo we got to hook up again, man, because that's my guy right there, man. So hopefully he's doing fantastic as well, sir.
He's good.
Good deal. Happy birthday to your little one, too, by the way. I want to show some love to her, too. So that was awesome, man. So, yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
And without further ado, we got to check in with my other co-host, Mr. Rob Ford. T-Rob, how you feeling this evening, sir?
Man, couldn't be better. I'm ready to get this party started. Let's make it do what it do.
Nah, man. You got to tell us what you had to eat. Come on.
Say what?
Come on.
This, man.
You got to tell us what you had to eat. I mean, is that even a question?
Oh, man, you know, just a little asparagus and some mashed potatoes and some steak. You know, you're in Texas, so you got to eat a little beef.
I was going to say, man, I told you I was waiting on the crawfish etouffee. I was waiting on it, bro. And that's a little
dumb oil. I saved that when I'm back in the Big Easy.
I'm sorry, America. I messed with him, but I love the Gulf Coast and all the seafood that's available. So I'm with you, Rob.
I always eat what's popular wherever I'm located at that particular time.
What's up? I
got to
do
it.
Yes,
sir. In Texas,
like
you got to eat a little beef. You got to eat a little Tex-Mex. You got to have a little margarita, a tin. And when you're in Texas, and you know when you're in the Big Easy, you got to have that gumbo. You got to have that jambalaya. You got to have that shrimp po' boy or hot sausage po' boy sandwich. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know y'all feel me on that, right? Or the barbecue oysters, I don't know about that, too. The hickory grill redfish.
Apologies, America. This is a sports talk show. This is a sports talk show, even though Rob goes a little nuts. But it's all good. You know, our regular foodie
like
has to chime in, too. Oh, yeah. It's all good. I'm down with the redfish, too, man. We talk about that, too, man. Next time we win New Orleans, Rob, we're gonna do that big time, man. So stay tuned for that, sir. But
and then you can't forget about the double chocolate bread pudding.
Oh my gosh! There we go. Actually, that. Again, America, we promise this is a sports talk show. After 2 minutes of Rob dissecting the whole menu, so appreciate that, JQ, man. Thank you for egging him on too, man. But anyway, it's all good.
You. That's my job.
America, really quickly. So I'm going to try to get to this really quickly. The numbers to call in the show, it's always the 424-243-9519. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then on Facebook, go to facebook.com/12thmansports. We are on that route as well. So stay tuned. Work on the website, fellas. A lot of exciting things we're going to get going as well, man. So, yeah, stay tuned, man. All right, gentlemen. First and foremost, the NBA is kind of king. We're getting ready to kind of wrap up the playoff seedings, and those are kind of getting finalized as we speak. There's some NBA happening tonight, and some news that we want to definitely talk about in that the Cavs, they're just always trying to tweaked their roster to compete against what we are thinking it to be the Golden State Warriors right now. They bring back a 36-year-old Dante Jones here. So, Rob, man, I don't know your thoughts about this. Is this going to help and hurt the Cavaliers? What's their thinking behind this move? And give us your thoughts about this, sir, and then I'll kick it to you, JQ, as always.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously, Dante Jones has, I think he's played a total of 62 NBA games in the last 3 or 4 years, so he hasn't played a lot of NBA basketball. He hasn't played at all in the NBA this past season, so it's somewhat of a surprising move, but I think from the Cleveland Cavaliers standpoint, he's been an incredible leader on their team the last few years, especially in the playoffs. He actually even came in and contributed to the Cavaliers in the Game 7 victory over the Warriors on last season. So I think more than anything, he's a guy that brings some additional leadership. And the Cavaliers, as we can all see, I mean, Stephen Wonder can even see it, they've struggled here toward the end of the season. And, they need something, and they've been trying to tweak their roster for quite some time here this season, and they're still not quite gelling. And right now, they're trying to figure out, and I don't think they're done. I think you may even see another roster two or roster move or two before the playoffs begin here this coming weekend. I think they're still trying to find the right mix of guys that can help them going into the playoffs. So more than anything, I just think this is a guy that's going to come in and help them with some leadership, some structure on their roster. And in a pinch, maybe come in for 2 to 5 minutes a game. I don't ever see him playing any more than that here in the playoffs. I still like the Cavs, even as a 2 seed, to win a championship. I know we're not to win a championship, but to get to the finals. I don't think it's going to be as easy as it's been in the past. And I think Washington could challenge them. I think Boston could challenge them a little bit here. I still expect them to get to the finals. But I don't expect as many sweeps as we've seen in the past few years in the Eastern Conference.
JQ, your thoughts about this, sir?
Yeah, absolutely. And I told y'all this weeks and weeks and weeks ago. These dudes don't play any defense, and it's only gotten worse. And I told you they should sign Lance Stephenson when he got hurt and just waited a bit and let him get healthy. And look what Lance Stephenson is doing for Indiana. Give him that edge and that swagger to get back into the Eastern Conference playoffs. This is grasping at straws. We're just talking about Cleveland and what they're doing right now. For everything that Rob just said, 36-year-old that hasn't barely played. Yeah, he was good last year. I guess you could say he has fresh legs because he ain't played, so he shouldn't be tired. But they had opportunity to get somebody in Lance Stephenson. And I don't know if blowing LeBron's ear played into not signing him.
That's exactly why that happened. Bro. Come on, man.
It has to be, because I feel like that was a really good signing for them that was waiting to be had, and they missed out on it, and now they're struggling, especially with Bogey getting hurt like that, which is a freak accident you can't see coming. But if you sign Stephenson and Bogey don't get hurt, you look at them defensively now, like they're not the best defensive team, but, they gave up 112 points the other day to Philadelphia. 112, while they were still battling for the number one seed, to Philadelphia. I mean, that tells you how bad that defense is in Cleveland. It's pretty bad, bro. It's bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
Yep, absolutely.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, they're really struggling. And Tyronn Lue, he claims that he hasn't been showing his defensive coverages in the regular season. He's been saving them for the playoffs. I don't buy that one bit. And, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I still like them to win the East. I think they'll find a way to still get to the finals. I just don't think they can beat the Warriors or the Spurs if they get to the NBA Finals. Not this team. I just don't think they can. If the Warriors or the Spurs are both healthy, I just can't see the Cavs. As much as I would want them to see them win, I don't see it happening this year.
Washington.
And, you mentioned the Lance Stephenson thing, that's an interesting point about the blowing in the ear thing. He called himself the LeBron stopper. You remember Ruben Patterson used to call himself the Kobe stopper? Kobe stopper.
Wow.
But, yeah, it could be something. But that was a bad decision, like JQ said. They should have brought Stephenson in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason why, we know why, because he's blowing in his ear, man. So we don't want that, man. That's a whole other conversation, man. So all the memes will be, man, it's just not a good scenario, man. They don't need that distraction, man. That's probably why that's happening, man. So just a little FYI, man.
They do, though.
And I won't tell you. Yeah, well, they do, but I'm telling you that's why it's not happening. But just to let you know, man, the best defense is outscoring your man offensively, man. That's what they're Cleveland is hoping for, man. So anyway, that's from the Adam Morrison playbook, man. So just a little FYI for mm-hmm. you, man. All right, gentlemen.
Hey, you see why he's out of the league?
He's definitely out of the league, man. Yeah,
they got no tank top.
All right, gentlemen.
If Adam Morrison couldn't guard a statue.
No, he couldn't, man. That's hilarious. Man, Gonzaga. All right, let's talk about this, gentlemen. We got a lot of things to discuss here. Some awards here, and I'm gonna fire these off, and you kind of go back and forth. So I'll say one, then JQ, Rob, you kind of spit that out too. So your view of the NBA MVP. Started out with you, Rob.
I tell you what, this is a really tough decision. Russell Westbrook has been outrageously phenomenal this season, though, the kind of numbers he's been putting up. The triple-double was breaking Oscar Robertson's record. The points leading the league in scoring, I think third in assists. He's had a phenomenal season. But I just can't seem to vote for an MVP that's on a sixth seed. And to me, I have Westbrook second just because of the kind of season he's had. But I have to go with James Harden. I have to go with Harden. I can see with the addition of Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson how much better he's made those guys. And that's the kind of things you want to look for, those kind of qualities in your most valuable player. Has he made his team better? And when I look at the way that team has gotten better this year and knowing how I've seen Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson the last couple of years and how much better they've been this season playing with James Harden, it's hard for me not to pick James Harden as the MVP. Kawhi Leonard is another guy who I had up there pretty high. I had him number three on my list. But I have to go with James Harden when you look at how he elevated that team. And in my opinion, to a team that's a contender. And when you look at their roster, I don't necessarily see contending type of players on their team. But he has elevated that team. And so I have to go with James Harden, in my opinion, for the MVP.
Wow. JQ.
Co-MVPs. Co-MVPs, Harden and Westbrook. Westbrook is not coming in second. At worst, Westbrook wins it outright. At best, Westbrook wins it outright. At worst, he's a co-MVP with James Harden. He's not coming in second, Robin. Everybody else I know, Kawhi's had a good year. Those LeBron, those Isaiah Thomas, they all had fantastic years, but they ran into the wrong gear. What Russell Westbrook has done, and don't get me wrong, he has the highest usage rate and one of the highest turnover rates as well in the NBA. And James Harden has led the league, I believe, in assists as well. So, at worst, Westbrook wins it outright. But at best, you get the co-MVPs, because I agree with Rob. I think Harden has had a fabulous year. I think he just may have run into a buzzsaw. When you break a record that Oscar Robertson held, you know, it's like 30-something years old. 30-something years old. To break that record. That's going to count for a lot. You know.
And let me just make sure my listeners understand. James Harden is my MVP. Not necessarily saying he's going to win it. I didn't say he was necessarily going to win it. But if I had a vote, that's where my vote will go for MVP.
I hear what you're saying. Harden has had a fantastic year, and I would take nothing away from James Harden. But averaging a triple double and breaking the most triple doubles in the season by a player, he's going to at least get a tie for it.
I agree.
Said,
Rob, again, it's not like a shot, and I'm glad you clarified saying this is your MVP because, like I said, what Harden did is pretty phenomenal. You could argue that he probably should have gotten it a little earlier, but in this instance, as Jake, you said what. What Westbrook has done is, averaging triple double. That's pretty amazing, man. So again,
I just can't personally justify voting for an MVP on a guy that was a sixth seed, even with those kind of stats.
Well, his squad has a little better, but I'm with you, Jake. That's pretty amazing. But go ahead, Jake.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying I don't disagree with that, and wins have to count for something as well. And I hear what Rob is saying, and I understand where he was coming from in terms of his MVP. I'm just looking at it. If I'm looking back from it in terms of my MVP and what I think they will vote for as writers and everybody else for the MVP, I just think he's got milestones like in the season that is going to be hard to overcome. I don't think he ever comes in second. That was my only point. I don't think he comes in second. He's going to at least tie for it.
Have a little trivia for you all. 1995, we had Cole Rookie of the Years. Name those
Jason
two
Kidd
players.
Jason Kidd is one. Grant Hill.
Grant Hill.
Ooh, that's a good call. Good job, man.
So
are
might
you
have
co
MVPs this
another?
Year.
Yeah, that could be. Yeah, that'd be interesting. So we're kind of right there in the same type of vein here, and let's talk about the rookie of the year. So do you want to start with that, JQ? You want to kick it to Robert? It's your call, JQ. I'll let you kind of run that.
It's just not been a big rookie year. I think Embiid is a runaway winner if he doesn't get hurt. I still think he wins. I think he's done enough to win rookie of the year, but you don't really have anybody that could have blown past him. I don't think. For unless I'm missing somebody, I still think I would give it to Embiid.
Wow. What about you, Rob? What's your thoughts?
I agree. Yeah, Embiid is my rookie of the year. Obviously, he got hurt here in the last month of the season, but prior to that, was having a phenomenal year. And even though this wasn't the year he was drafted, but this was his rookie year of playing. You might see the same thing for the 76ers with Ben Simmons. Playing next year, so who knows? Embiid was having a phenomenal year, getting it done, scoring the basketball, rebounding the basketball, blocking shots on the defensive end. If they can keep him healthy, and he runs the floor well, he's athletic, and if they can keep him healthy, he has a bright future.
What about Malcolm Brogdon, man, playing a lot of stuff for doing some stuff for the Bucks, man? What do you think about him, man, as far as making that from
he's got,
what he was being
picked,
man?
Greek.
So
he's got
fair
the
enough.
Greek.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like I said, I just, you know, for somebody getting picked for, you know, second round here, 36th pick, man, you know, so I just, you know, a lot of times that's he's been pretty solid, too. I'm not saying that he's, like, you know, freaking amazing or
he's
awesome.
He's a homer,
or
man.
Just, you know, but,
you are a homer. You are an ACC homer, bro. You
I'm
are
not
an ACC
homer. No,
homer.
Actually, I was just looking up like,
stand
the top
up.
Picks and oh my goodness. I was just thinking of some other options because, you know, I know he's been that's a lot of consensus that he was a pretty good pick too, man. That was not to be a homer pick, man. So all
right,
let's talk about
that.
With
you, right.
That rookie of the year here, let's move on to the executive of the year. Go ahead, Rob, what do you think about this, man?
Executive of the Year, this was a really tough one for me, and this might be one of the ones where I may go with two people. Bob Myers, obviously, from Golden State, obviously picking up Kevin Durant and having that team where it is as well. But you got to give Daryl Morey some love, too, with the Houston Rockets and what they've been able to do. Obviously, he hired Mike D'Antoni, signed Eric Gordon, Ryan Anderson, and they were a team – they were pretty much out of the playoffs last season to all the way up to the number three seed. So they did a lot here to climb. So I got to go with co-executive of the years. Those are the two guys, in my opinion, who are the most deserving.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I know it makes for a boring show, but I agree with Rob. I mean, I think executive of the year is one of those ones where they go more just off of the wins. And then, you know, Bob Myers getting Kevin Durant when everybody wanted him is a huge coup. And then making sure, you know, he's going to get more credit than he should, but it's worked out right. You know, they're the one seed in the West again, and he got hurt, but, I mean, they still were really starting to click on all cylinders before Kevin Durant got hurt. But I agree. Daryl Morey, you know, what he did to get Houston to the 3 seed with some, you know, second-tier moves with his analytics department of getting three-point shooters to surround Harden and recreating that, you know, 6 seconds or less Phoenix Suns kind of offense that, excuse me, that they had with Steve Nash, and you just replace Steve Nash with a more, like, you know, James Harden. I mean, D'Antoni is a good hire. The role players are a good sign for Houston. In the perfect world, Daryl Morey would win by himself, but it's tough to argue with getting the biggest free agent prize and integrating him in seamlessly to that Golden State team.
Yeah, you can easily make a case that Bob Myers has been the executive of the NBA the last 5 years, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Good call. Most improved player, I think you said it earlier, J.Q., when you talk about the Greek freak, that's my vote, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts. So go ahead, J.Q., with that, man. Give us your thoughts. Most improved player.
Yeah, I am. And the Greek freak is an excellent call, but I think the Greek freak is still doing what he was doing before. He was still being able to run the point and rebound and score and block shots and assist. He's been doing that. I mean, he's gotten better. Don't get me wrong. But I'm a homer for my fantasy team, and I'm going to talk about him because I got him late and I shouldn't have. And that's Isaiah Thomas for Boston. I mean, that dude is generously listed at 5'9". He's probably like 5'7", 5'8", maybe with, you know, like the right pair of shoes on. But the dude just started out balls. He's giving Boston a superstar to attach other role players around and get them to the one seed in the East. I mean, you didn't think Isaiah Thomas could, you know, he's the leading scorer in the fourth quarter in the NBA this year. I mean, there's something to be said for what he's doing for that Boston team, and you're filling in around him, you know, with these draft picks they're getting, and if they trade some of them to get Jimmy Butler or Paul George, hypothetically, to go with Horford and Isaiah Thomas. I hate Boston. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Laker fan. I hate Boston. But you can't hate on what Isaiah Thomas is doing for the Celtics this year.
Wow. Rob.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Greek freak and up there in Milwaukee. I think he and Anthony Davis in the next few years have the potential to be the best players in the NBA. And I would agree with JQ. I have Isaiah Thomas as the most improved player. I know we're agreeing with each other a lot, but the kind of numbers that he is putting up on the scoreboards, you know, scoring a basketball at an extremely high level. And no one had the Boston Celtics being a number one seed here prior to the season. No one gave them a shot. Playoff team, yes. Number one seed, no. And his contributions to that team has been unbelievable. And he's the guy for sure. Even though he was an all-star last season, it just seemed like he took his game to an entire another level this season as well. So I have to go with Isaiah Thomas as well.
Yep. I won't give him a third round next year.
Don't forget about Dre. That's how it is. All right. Sixth man of the year. Go ahead, Rob.
Sixth man of the year. I have to go with. I think we forget about the Golden State Warriors, and we forget about this player on the Warriors team, Andre Iguodala. You're talking about a guy who was actually a few years ago the finals MVP of their team. And, you know, we talk about the big four, but you can make a case that the Warriors have a big five. And Iguodala helped them to settle down when Durant got hurt, and they pulled off 13, 14 straight wins in a row. And he was phenomenal on both ends of the floor. And he's getting it done on the defensive end with his length. And he's by far... He's still the sixth man of the year award to me, in my opinion, in the last month of the season, even though he was candidate prior to that. But I think he sealed the deal here in the last month of the season, the way the Warriors, of course, settled down. And that team could probably still win a title without Kevin Durant. They did 2 years ago without him. And they really proved it here in the last month of the season. Iguodala stepped it up again.
Ohio players, another Ohio player, Andre Iguodala. I am with you.
Man, nobody wants to hear about that.
Hey, man, don't be bitter. Don't be bitter. Come on, bro. But honestly, yeah, Andre Iguodala has been, you know, it's going to be tough to re-sign him. I believe he's a free agent this year because they have so much money committed to everybody else. But he's been a linchpin. It's the word you're looking for. Is a linchpin for that team to keep the continuity of we can play this amorphous, you know, 1-5 basketball where there really aren't any a lot of positions, but we all are athletic and play enough different positions between the 1 and the 3 or the 3 and the 4 and the 4 and the 5 so where we can mix and match and score and defend you. I think Iguodala wins. And the thing that's bad is for Eric Gordon is I think Eric Gordon might have had a really good shot at it, but once they got Lou Williams from the Lakers, I think they started to split that six-man vote because Lou Williams was just phenomenal for Houston down the stretch as well, coming off that bench with Gordon. You got to watch them in the playoffs because you put those two dudes coming off the bench together and they are Vinny Johnson microwave dish for the Houston Rockets. So I agree. I think it's AI, the second coming of AI. You know, I can let him wear that moniker because he has balled out for Golden State this year, no doubt.
Good call. I like it. Anybody named Andre is cool with me, man, so I'm cool with that. The defensive player of the year. Go ahead, Rob.
The defensive player of the year, I got to go with Rudy Gobert for the Utah Jazz. The Utah Jazz quietly battling for 4 or 5 seed. They had a very good season. And you don't really hear about this team that often, but they got it done quite a bit on the defensive end, especially Rudy Gobert leading the league in block shots. Quietly, one of the better big men in the league, one of the better big men in the league, and probably could be an all-star in the league here pretty soon. And I have to go with Rudy Gobert. He's really impacted a lot of opposing teams' offenses all season long. And like I say, this is a team that plays in Salt Lake City. They're not a glamour team. You don't hear about them that often. But Rudy Gobert has been the main reason for their success this season.
Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, no, I agree. He has been. I'm just going to be, just so we can stop agreeing, I'm going to go with Kawhi Leonard and what he does on both sides of the ball, because he's not going to get the MVP, and I feel like he might get a groundswell of votes for Defensive Player of the Year. And Rudy Gobert is a fantastic pick. He's phenomenal. That Utah team plays flat-out defense. But Kawhi Leonard, his locking down of James Harden in that big game in San Antonio about a month and a half ago, and then what he did about 2.5 weeks ago against LeBron James, just totally neutralized him down the stretch. It's one of those things where you just get so used to what he's doing that you almost take it for granted. And he is out there not only with the responsibility to score 25 points at least a game for San Antonio, but also lock down the best player on the other team offensively. And he does both of those. I just feel like Kawhi should win it.
Good call. Good call. I mean, just for the sake of being different with you, I like both those picks. And you know, I'll leave it as is. I was going to throw in this little Hassan Whiteside. It should be different, man. But good calls, man, as far as that
goes. All
right. Hey, let's go really quickly. Let's knock out the head coaches of the year. We don't have to give a diatribe, so I definitely want to jump into the series and playoff predictions, and I want to talk about some NFL mock draft coverage as well, too. So really quickly, Rob, go with your coach of the year, and stay tuned, JQ, as well. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, we talked about Daryl Morey, executive of the year. We talked about James Harden, MVP. Let's make it a Houston Rockets show here and go with Mike D'Antoni. I did not think the Rockets would move all the way up to a 3 seed. You kind of figured that the Warriors and the Spurs were the top 2 teams, and you kind of figured that the Clippers were going to be stuck at number 3 at least for a few more years, and the Rockets have surpassed them. The offensive basketball machine that they have been playing at this season. I got to go with Mike D'Antoni. Eric Sprosher, I like the job he did with the Heat toward the end of the season, but it looked like they're still going to miss the playoffs, so I have to go with Mike D'Antoni.
Wow, go ahead, JQ.
Yep, totally agree. The two coaches I was going to talk about, because Sprosher's not getting a whole lot of credit what he's done with a Heat team that lost everybody, and they weren't expected to lose Bosh the way they have this year. But, yeah, it's got to be Mike D'Antoni. I mean, that 3 seed in the West, the 3 seed in the West is damn near the 1 seed in the East. I mean, that's hard to do. You got Pop, and you got Steve Kerr with that team Golden State. I mean, that's hard to do. And, I mean, they've got it locked up and had the 3 seed locked up for, really, if we're being honest, a couple of weeks. So, yeah, D'Antoni.
Nice. Good call. Good call. All right, gentlemen, we're still moving here. Let's talk really quickly about the series playoff predictions. Go ahead and kick it off, Rob, and I know you like to expound about that, but yeah, go ahead and kick on that. And we're right at 11:30 here, so keep it going, sir.
Wait, where are we heading? I'm sorry.
No, we're talking about
series,
the NBA series and the playoff.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, obviously, I can try to breeze through this quick. We got the Warriors-Blazers in round one. Obviously, I like the Warriors there. We have the Spurs and the Grizzlies. I like the Spurs there. The Rockets and the Thunder. That's going to be a fun series to watch. We talk about Westbrook and Harden as the top 2 MVP candidates. We get to see them go head-to-head. And I like the Rockets in like a 4-2 series. I think the Thunder makes it interesting, make it fun. But I think the Rockets win in like a 4-2 type series. The Jazz and the Clippers, It should be an interesting one, too, but I like the Clippers as well to move on in the 4-2 type of series. So you look in the second round, you got the Warriors and the Clippers. I still think the Warriors handily beat the Clippers. I'm thinking at least 4-1. So the Warriors move to the Eastern Conference. The Spurs-Rockets is going to be another war. I think that's going to be a very good series. And I think the Rockets can take the Spurs 7 games. I really do.
Whoa.
And, but okay. I think the Spurs pull it out. And in the Western Conference Finals, Golden State, I think, beats the Spurs by about 4-2 and goes back to the finals yet again. Now we look at the Eastern Conference. You got the Celtics going against the Bulls. I think this series is going to be interesting because I really like the way the Bulls played toward the end of the season. They're playing good defense. They're spreading the floor. They're shooting the basketball. I like Boston to win the series. But I think the Bulls make it interesting. I think that series goes 6-7 games. I really do believe that. In the second round, Cleveland against Indiana. As I mentioned earlier in the show, I still like Cleveland to go to the finals. But I don't think it's going to be easy. They're going to get some challenges. The Pacers won the last 5 games of the season. Paul George is on fire right now. I think the Pacers win at least 2 games in this series. I think Cleveland advances 4-2 and moves on to the next round. Then we got the 3-6 matchup in the Eastern Conference, Toronto-Milwaukee. I'm going to tell y'all something. If there's
Milwaukee,
any, there you go. If there's any upset in the NBA playoffs, I think this is a series. Milwaukee's got the length. They have the athleticism. I think Milwaukee somehow upsets Toronto and win this game in 6 or 7 games. That's my one upset in the NBA playoffs. I think Milwaukee upsets the Toronto team that went all the way to the Eastern Conference Final last year.
I agree.
Now, we got the Wizards and we got the Hawks. No offense, Andre, but I just like the way John Wall and the Wizards are, in my opinion, one of the few teams I think could possibly upset the Cavs in the playoffs. The way John Wall is playing, the way Bradley Beal is playing in that team. And I like that series. I still think it's going to be a 6-7-game series with the Hawks, but I like the Wizards to move on. So that will set up a Wizards and Boston matchup, which I think could go 6-7 games. I like the Wizards to win that series. I think the Wizards go all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals, 4 seed.
Yeah.
Do what?
Yeah.
I'm with you. Hey, man, you are batting 1,000 right now.
Yeah. I like the Wizards to pull that one out. And Cleveland, once again, I think they'll move on. But I think Milwaukee gives them a run. I think Milwaukee takes the series to at least 6 games. So I'm looking at a Cleveland-Washington Eastern Conference Finals. I think it's going to take LeBron James and the Cavs all 7 games to win that, to move on. And they just get by with experience. Cleveland-Golden State in the finals. I think Golden State sweep the Cavs to win the championship.
Woo! You make a lot of people happy. Good call. I agree with you on Washington. I was gonna don't talk junk, man. I'm in a Warriors household, but no. I got to tell you too. I agree with that too because I think we knocked out Washington the past couple years. They're gonna get us, man. So I agree, man. They're gonna they got a number, man. They're waiting for us, man. So I can see that actually happening. Those are gonna be really good games too, man. I love the Washington Boston series. I love the Milwaukee. Man, I love all of those particular series, man. I think it's going to be fantastic, man. So that'll be good to see that as well. Do you have anything else to add to that?
I think Houston-OKC is the best first-round matchup, in my opinion.
I agree. I agree. Fantastic. Go ahead, JQ.
I know I'm a homer, and I'm rooting for LeBron James, but I'm going to say the Warriors and the Wizards in the finals. Cleveland don't play defense. And what they have is and Bradley Beal and John Wall's ability to get in the paint and drive and draw fouls. I think the Wizards can make the finals. I really do. I like that backcourt.
Do they beat Golden State in the finals or no?
No. Stop playing. Golden State wins the title.
Gotcha. I was just asking the question. You don't have to ask. I'm just here giving fodder, man. Come on, man. It's like I'm over here trying to like.
I think the only way Golden State does not win the championship, in my opinion, if two of the top five players are out.
They can still win it with one of the top five out. Exactly.
Good call.
They have to beat down two of their top five players in order for them to not win the championship. That's just my opinion. I don't like the Warriors, but I have to call it like I see it.
Oh, my goodness.
I agree.
You're about to make me – man. Sorry, Morris. I still love you, man. You know, we're going to show some love, too, man. Good Warriors. All right, here we go. All right. Good calls. I love it. We got about 10 minutes here, and that was a very succinct wrap up with that particular topic. All right, gentlemen, let's shift some gears here and let's talk about the NFL here. And Rob, you've got like what, 12 mock drafts? Keep up with the so-called professionals, man, because no one knows, man. We're like 22 mock drafts in, man. So yeah.
Oh yeah. I do a different one every week.
Weeks, I know, man. And like I said, I know I make fun of you, but it's only in good fun. But yeah, congrats, man. So it's impressive to do the research and put that out. So let's talk about some changes that you've made, and things are always happening too. So far, we haven't any crazy videos or anything like that that's happened so far. But there could be some interesting moves. And I heard something in the rumor that the Browns may not be going after Myles Garrett, number one. But you know, that's just kind of some stuff we're hearing. But we'll know. So tell us your mock draft and any changes that you made so far, sir.
And you know, just for our listeners will know, you know, you do a different mock draft every week because you can at least revert back to one of them and say, oh, yeah, I had it right on that one. You know? So you got to do a lot of them so you can at least have one of them come close to being right.
Because
obviously there are a million mock drafts on the Internet right now, and none of them are going to be right. So that's just like there are a million people that do NCAA tournament brackets, and none of them are going to be right. So that's
right.
The mock drafts are, you know, just for fun for the fans, obviously, and gives you some kind of estimation of where a guy may go in the draft. But none of these mock drafts are going to be right. Come on, we all know that. But you know, it is still kind of fun for our listeners and for sports fans to get some type of estimation of where a guy or what range a guy may get go and get drafted in. But if you do 30 of them, you might come close to one of them being right. And
there you go.
Just like brackets with
the
NCAA tournament.
Yep, yep.
Yep, absolutely. But obviously Cleveland is considering, they're open for business with that number one pick. And
right.
In regards to possibly adding a third first round pick if they can or trading down. So we'll see what happens on that front. The 49ers also are considering trading their number two pick. But if it stands the way it is now, obviously I think the Browns will take Garrett. And I think the 49ers will still take Solomon Thomas if both of those two teams are in that spot. The Bears is the one where it could get interesting. And even the 49ers. The 49ers are stepping up their homework on Mitch Trubisky right now to see if he's the guy worth taking at the number two pick. Right now, I still think they're going to go with Solomon Thomas. I just don't see him pulling the trigger on a quarterback that high who's not worthy of that high pick. There's no quarterback that's worthy of that high pick in this particular draft. I still have John Allen going to Chicago. I still have Fournette going to Jacksonville. Marshawn Lattimore to Tennessee. Jamal Adams to the Jets. A guy I have moving up the draft board is Mike Williams, wide receiver from Clemson. He could possibly go as high as number five to Tennessee. Right now I have him going number seven to the Los Angeles Chargers. And I still have Malik Hooker, safety from Ohio State. I still have him going to Cincinnati.
What?
Derek Burnett. What'd you say?
I said I would have a Hooker jersey tomorrow if that happened.
I don't think you want to be walking around as the city man with a jersey with a Hooker on the back of it.
I will.
That's awesome.
And my black one with Hooker on the back. I say, say words. I'm ready.
Wow.
Well, Derek Burnett, have him going 10 to Buffalo. Buffalo is could be another spot where you might see Mitch Trubisky go to as well. New Orleans at 11 and 32, have him taking Marlon Humphrey, cornerback from Alabama. Charles Harris, pass rusher from Missouri, at the number 32 pick. Reuben Foster, a guy who JQ just claims that Cincinnati's going to pick. I am going number 12. To the Cleveland Browns. Just a couple other big names in the first round. Delvin Cook, I have him going to Philadelphia at 14. Christian McCaffrey, I have him going to 15 to Indy to play with Andrew Luck. Mitch Trubisky, I have him right now going 17 to Washington. There's some uncertainty at the quarterback position with Kirk Cousins. I have him going number 17 to Washington at this point. Jabril Peppers, I have him going 24 to Oakland. Deshaun Watson, 25 to Houston. Let's see what other big names have here. know Andre may be interested with the Falcons. Obi Melifonwu, safety from UConn, a guy who's a fast riser. Cleveland finally takes a quarterback at 33, Pat Mahomes from Texas Tech. Deshaun Kizer, quarterback Notre Dame, have him going to Chicago at the number 36 position. So let's see. Cincinnati in the second round, have him take offensive guard from Indiana, Dan Feeney. Having the Saints take linebacker Jared Davis from Florida. And in the second round, Atlanta taking Cordrea Tankersley, cornerback from Clemson. So those are just a few big names there in the first two rounds of the draft. Joe Mixon, have him going 48 to Minnesota.
Well, no. He's all off, bro. He's all off. You know he's going to be for the Bengals. Go ahead, JQ.
You know that Reuben Foster and Joe Mixon are going to the Bengals in round one and two. Why do you keep doing it? Anybody that is a wayward soul, Marvin Lewis is going to draft on his team. Reuben Foster at nine and Joe Mixon in the second round because they got confidence in the first round. I'm just going to bank on that until I see something different.
That was a ploy on Marvin Lewis's part.
That's all it is.
He should have acted up, bro. Yeah,
Joe
Mixon,
I tell you, this guy could be a flat-out steal, whoever gets him, though.
Thank you. Cause
he might be the best pure running back talent in this draft.
Yeah.
Him and Reuben Foster.
Yeah, good call.
Cincinnati. Book it.
That's nuts. I love. Book it, Dana. Jimmy Clausen will be a number one draft pick. Hey, let's keep this going here. Really quickly, Rob, we got about 3 minutes here. I was in the bathroom and I was thinking about you, man, really quickly. We're talking about some quarterbacks.
Oh, man, in the bathroom?
Yeah, man. That's what I thought about you, bro. I was on the toilet, man. I was thinking about you, bro. Hey, so the top five QBs in the draft, man. So where do you think they're going to land? Go ahead, man. So the top five. Go ahead.
Well, Mitch Trubisky, we talked about him a little bit. Right now, I have him going 17 to Washington. He could be in play for San Fran at 2, Chicago at 3, Buffalo at 10. Those could possibly be some options for him. And you look at the second guy I have going, Deshaun Watson. I have him going 25 to Houston. Those are right now the only two quarterbacks I have in the first round. Pat Mahomes, I have him going 33 to Cleveland. Cleveland might trade up to the back of the first round to pick him. But right now I have him going 33, their first pick of the second round. Deshaun Kizer, another guy, 36, have him going to Chicago. And the fifth quarterback, I have Davis Webb, quarterback from Cal. I have him going to the New York Giants at 55. Right now the Giants are starting to get a little concerned with Eli Manning and his dwindling play here in the last couple of years. And possibly getting ready to develop a quarterback for the future. And so I have Davis Webb going to 55 to the Giants.
All right, Rob, we got 1 minute and 57 seconds. Go ahead and talk into the OT portion here, man.
Next week, people, will be on Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. We're getting ready to go to our OT portion, so you don't want to miss this portion of our show. We still have some NFL talk coming up, maybe some Major League Baseball talk as well. So on tomorrow, you can click on the same link. We'll get you some more sports talk. If you want to talk, you want to hear what we have to say about the draft, which is actually just 2 weeks away from tomorrow night. So only two more weeks of doing mock drafts for me, then I get a little break and start concentrating on the NBA draft. Definitely don't want to miss us on next Thursday night, and definitely click on the OT portion on tomorrow. Good night, people.
You can get both topics in 30 seconds for both, JQ. It's all you, bro. You can just use your quarterbacks and your whatever. Go ahead, bro.
Oh, no. I don't know about the quarterbacks. I mean, I feel like quarterbacks are artificially rise because they're quarterbacks. The only quarterback I don't think that goes off in the first round is probably Davis Webb, but I think I can see that before it happens with crazy moves. But thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast and downloading it and listening to us on your way to the gym or to the airport or to work or whatever you do. The Bengals are taking the most wayward souls, so just know that they are going to take those two dudes. That's who they are. Go Reyes. I got to talk about my Reyes while they actually in first place. Trust.
Oh, that's not going to last.
witness the Bengals losing at Lambeau Field this year.
Hey, we in first place right now. I'm going to take it. Go Red.
Oh, man. Hey, JQ, we got to have that. And I got to – you know, it's pretty funny, man. I can't wait. I can't wait for JQ to get a text and say, I told y'all so once that draft happens, man. So I'm waiting forward to that day too, man. So we'll see, bro. all right. We're officially into the OT portion of the show. And speaking of quarterbacks, Rob, I definitely want to talk about – there's two topics I definitely want to touch base within the OT portion. The first one that I want to talk about is what Deshaun Kizer said. I know we're kind of like – it's there are other things that happen, but I want to talk about that too because there was something that said that he actually needs – he agrees with Brian Kelly and that he needs time to develop. So is that like – is his agent like slapping him or is that like – is it good to be honest from your perspective and – or what do you think about this particular move? Because Brian Kelly took a lot of flack, but actually he's actually looking like he knows what he's talking about here. So tell us your thoughts about that, Rob.
Well, yeah, this is somewhat of a tough one here. Obviously, Kizer's got full confidence in his ability. And I think what Brian Kelly was just trying to say, he just would have liked him to have more football as a starting quarterback in college. Obviously, the ability and the talent is all there. As far as from a throwing a football standpoint, as far as the athletic ability is there as well. And he's a sharp kid as well. He just has a little bit more to learn. And I'm not going to call him a project in the NFL because I don't think he's a project. But he just may – he's obviously not going to be a guy that's going to be able to come in and start from day one in the National Football League. You look at Dak Prescott, a guy who was picked in the third round. But Dak Prescott started a lot of football at Mississippi State. It was kind of easy for him to make the transition. And with Deshaun Kizer, he's a guy that may have more upside than a guy like Dak Prescott, but it's just going to take him a while to get there. And I think that's something that he realizes. I think that's something that Brian Kelly obviously realizes, and definitely NFL scouts realize that too. So as you see right now, I have him going to Chicago in the second round, which could possibly be a good fit because Mike Lennon, you're expecting him to be the starter going in next season. And maybe you can, if that doesn't work out, you still have Kizer in the fold for down the road here. So obviously I think he needs to go to a situation where they already have a starting quarterback in place and give him an opportunity to develop.
He is not the savior of Rome. JQ, your thoughts about that topic, sir?
Yeah, I think they're both right, and you're right. I think his agent's like, man, why would you say something like that? But the bigger story is, what Brian Kelly saying that about him as being his head coach, is Deshaun Kizer has two things going right now. That means, number one, he has no faith in the recruiting class and what he has coming back in Notre Dame, because you're talking about going from the second round to the first round. That's guaranteed millions of dollars that he's leaving on the table with no faith in, if I go to Notre Dame for another year, which is Notre Dame, the University of America, to let everybody else tell us they got their own freaking sponsorship and network coverage with NBC. That's a damning indictment on Brian Kelly and what he has coming back. I'm sorry, but it is. He could have stayed another year in Notre Dame, being the first quarterback off in the top five next year with any kind of supporting cast in Notre Dame, if we're being honest. And second of all, we say that he's smart. He probably is, but that's something else that probably just don't like school. You know, if he felt like he had another good class coming in and he wanted to go to school, have the college experience, and do his thing, but he was like, you know what, man, I'm out of here, bro. These classes in Notre Dame, they tripping. They want me to actually go to class, and we got a sorry team coming back. I am up. That is a very bad indictment of Notre Dame football is what it is to me that nobody's talking about. Because they're right with the underlying fact of why they're right and why he didn't stay is damning about what's happening next year in Notre Dame.
Yeah, could be. I didn't think of it like that, JQ. I was thinking of it just more or less the fact that maybe he, you know, this is where he's projected to go and it's probably good for him to leave. But, you know, that's actually a great point that maybe there's something coming in for Notre Dame. But just to kind of piggyback what you said, Rob, 100% in agreement in that it's kind of tough for him. He's a smart kid, but, you know, he's not the savior of Rome, and he probably could stand to – you know, use some more development, because even a great quarterback like a Peyton Manning that was in, you know, college for 4 years, or even Andrew Luck, they still struggle a little bit too. So, and that's a great analogy with Prescott too. So you had guys that played, it's going to definitely affect them. They're not going to come in and do their thing too, man. So good calls on that front as well. All right, let's talk about this really quickly. I want to talk about John Lynch
The 49ers are open to trading the number two pick. What do you want to talk about this, Rob? Hoping to keep this quick.
Well, I mean, I think obviously John Lynch is first year as a general manager, and he basically just said, hey, we're open for business here with this number two pick. We're trying to evaluate all of our options. And obviously, you're talking about a team who needs a quarterback, and unfortunately, this is just that one year where it's not worth taking the quarterback that high in the draft. And so I think that's one of the reasons why some of these teams at the top of the draft are looking to move down and pick up some additional picks. And the 49ers, let's face it, I mean, they have a lot of problems on that football team.
A lot of problems.
A few years ago, they had a really good defense. That defense is atrocious now. The offense is atrocious. They don't have any weapons. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have weapons on the perimeter. So they have a lot of needs on this football team. So if you're John Lynch, you got to figure out how you can get some more players on this football team. And this draft is very deep at certain positions. It's obviously very deep when it comes to pass rushers. It's very deep when you come to the safety position. It's very deep when you come to the cornerback position. If you're a team that needs defense, this is a year for it because you have a lot of really good defensive players, particularly in the secondary and particularly when it comes to pass rushers. These are definitely positions that obviously affect the quarterback. And so if you can get your hands on quite a bit of these type of players, you can see why. Lynch is probably thinking, I may not get the quarterback in this draft, but let's see if we can do something to fix one side of the football out of this draft.
I got a hit. Go ahead, JQ.
And that's the same thing you talk about with Cleveland leaking out the information, being not totally sold on Myles Garrett and thinking about Mr. Trubisky. It's all a ploy to draft, to move back in the draft to pick up more picks because every draft analyst has said it's weak at the top, but it's plenty deep. So why would you want to pick at the top of the draft when you can acquire draft picks and move back and move into that depth of the draft? And when you're a team like the Browns and a team like the 49ers with multiple holes on your team, of course you take more picks in that situation and try to fill more holes. So they're doing their due diligence, I think, at the front office to see if anybody has fallen in love with a Solomon Thomas, with a Garrett, to see if you know, they can move back to get more picks in the draft. So that's just pre-posturing for the draft.
You better get your man in the first round this year. Otherwise, you got plenty of rounds to get some depth.
Exactly.
If you don't have the thing, JQ. Is a good strategy this year.
Exactly.
There's a lot of solid second, third, fourth round, fifth round players in this draft.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mike, our fourth member of the show too, chiming in too as well. But I was gonna say, man, it's interesting. There's a lot of love for. But see, it's interesting though because sometimes guys that it doesn't help to have extra picks because you can still get those wrong. You know, I mean. I guarantee you the Cleveland Browns would love to have Julio Jones as opposed to the five players they got or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So eventually you can keep acquiring picks, but sometimes you got to get that player to kind of like stick with the player too. So, you know, I agree with that. You are open for business.
Thanks a lot,
you're
Cleveland.
John Lynch. Yeah, you're welcome. If you're John Lynch, are you feeling a little pressure because you got a hit? Because, you know, not only are people thinking, man, you know, how do you get a GM job and, you know, whatever. So this is going to be an interesting year for him. I'm going to say he's got to, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that evolves for the 49ers too because, like you said, Rob, they got a lot of needs, and you better do pretty good on your first draft, which is pretty tough to do because it's not an exact science, as we all know, you know. So anyway, good calls on that. Do you have any draft sleepers in your perspective, JQ?
No, I'm going with Rob on the draft sleepers. This is all him. He's my draft nick.
Rob, there it is, bro.
And my draft sleepers, the five guys that I have here are not necessarily guys that are going to go in the fifth and sixth round. These are just guys that you're just not hearing a lot talked about them, but still going to go pretty high in the draft. First guy I'm going to talk about here is David Webb, quarterback from California. Obviously, he's really climbed off a lot of people's boards, and right now I am going to the latter part of the second round. These guys have got the size, he's got the physical twos, he's throwing the football accurately as well, and I think he's one of the sleeper quarterbacks in this draft and could possibly wind up being one of the top quarterbacks in this draft. Never know. I think he could be a sleeper/steal in this draft. Kevin King, cornerback from Washington. The guy's got good speed, good 6'3". So he's got all athletic ability. You don't find too many corners with that kind of height and that kind of a speed and being able to move. So this is another guy I think that could be a possibly steal in this draft. I have him going 38 right now in the second round to the Los Angeles Chargers. And we look at Marcus Williams, safety from Utah. And we just talked about the secondary. He's a third-round guy on my board right now, but I think he has the potential to move up to the second round as well. So I have him going in the third round, but I still think he'll be able to help quite a few football teams right away when you talk about special teams and even coming in and contributing on defense as well. Tyus Bowser, outside linebacker from Houston. This guy is probably one of the better athletes in this draft as well, and I think he's going to be a pretty solid pass rusher when it comes to the NFL. And I think he can even play in the 4-3 defense as a strong side outside linebacker as well. But even the 3-4, he could be perfect as a pass rush outside linebacker. I am going 53 to Detroit at the moment. And the last guy I'm going to talk about, Forrest Lamp, offensive guard, interior offensive lineman from Western Kentucky, small school. The guy is nasty. And I think he's going to go in the first round. Matter of fact, I have him going number 23 to the Giants at the moment. A guy you don't hear about a lot, small school, NFL scouts love him. I think he's going to get into the first round. Right now I have him at 23 to the Giants.
What?
Like it.
There you go, Jake.
I like it.
There you go.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any wayward souls that are going to find their way on the Cleveland or for the Cincinnati Bengals, man. So I'm just keeping that in mind, man. If anyone has any mishaps before it's over, man, I'll think about you, JQ. How about that, bro?
You're coming.
Oh, man. Really quickly, let's talk about this, man. Let's talk about St. Louis suing the NFL for $1 billion with the B for the Rams move to L.A. What's up with this, man? Did you hear about this, JQ?
I did, but, you know, they're just trying to recruit the money they lost and lost revenue. I think they said they were losing $100 million a year downtown having the Rams be gone. And Rob made a very salient point a couple weeks ago that you got to understand that it affects your tourism and your downtown economy when you don't keep your team there. And they gave St. Louis the opportunity. They've been holding the L.A. over St. Louis for years, the same way they've been holding over Oakland with that run-down stadium that the A's and the Raiders play in. I mean – at some point, I told you before, I was watching a city council meeting about the Falcons moving from the Georgia Dome to the new stadium. And the black dude got up there and said, yeah, you know, the Atlanta Falcons are children of Atlanta. It's time to pay child support. And that's the best way to look at it. They're children of your city. If you want to have them, you have to pay the child support or they're going to go somewhere else. And that's really what it comes down to. There are 32 teams in the NFL in the most marketable and desirable sporting, you know, contest in America. And if you don't pony up, somebody else will. And I don't think they're going to win that lawsuit, but that's what it comes down to.
They threw them for a billion, hoping to get $100 million back.
Right.
We love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We got 2 minutes. Rob, you can do your thoughts and then go ahead and end the show, man. We'll give it, maybe kick back to JQ one more time, man, for the Chargers. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, that was a great analogy by JQ with the child support analogy. Wow.
I don't know if I could top that,
but it's very well said. And obviously, you have to realize what kind of revenue these when you have these sporting events in your city is really like free advertisement for your city. And because if you ever notice when you're watching a lot of these games on TV, whoever the home team is, these networks always show popular sites in these different cities. And so it's free advertisement. And you can't put a value on that. And obviously nobody's going to see that arch in St. Louis now because you don't see the Rams on television. So how much is the arch going to hurt from that, from you not seeing that arch in St. Louis anymore? And so now you're only going to see it in baseball with the Cardinals, but football is still the number one watch sport in television. So, you know, you don't look at the little things like that, and I don't think sometimes city officials realize the importance of that. And so obviously it's a big blow to St. Louis and their community. And they still get an NFL team at some point. Next week, people, we'll be on the air Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Don't want to miss us. We'll be a week away from the draft on next Thursday night, so you don't want to miss our final week of coverage. Good night, people.
Thank you.
Go Chargers.
Love it. Good night, folks.
Don't wear that hooker jersey.
Peace out, fellas. Don't do it. Peace out. What's up? Say what's up to Mike for us, man. Next time we'll get some Green Bay picks.